We're holding on page Mem Zion in Tinus, paragraph Shom Amar Rabbahu, middle of Oisir Beis. Having talked about various dinim about rain, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbahu, Me'em Asayim Vorchan Alak Shom. From what point, when there's a rainfall, do we say a bracha on the rain? Now, you don't say, obviously, this bracha every time it rains. So the post can talk about, we're talking about primarily if there was a drought or maybe an Eretz Yisrael in general, because rain is sometimes sometimes a little hard to come by over there. There is also, Rashi points out, the Gemara in here, the Gemara is going to give us a nusach of a bracha. In brachas, meanwhile, the Gemara tells us that when rain falls, you say hatoy v'hameti. So how does that fit? So Rashi brings from the Gemara over there that says, first the Gemara offers an answer that one's talking about where he saw the rain and in person, and the other where he only heard about it. The Gemara actually ends up slugging that up, and actually Hagoris Habach wonders over here why Rashi even mentions, or Hagoris Agro rather, not Hagoris Agro, Rav Akiva Eger rather, Gilui Nashas, wonders why Rashi even bothers mentioning it if it's slugged up over there. Be that as it may, the Gemara ends up answering over there that the difference is whether you have a field yourself or you don't. If you have a field, and in particular, if you own it in partnership with other people, then you'd say atoy v'hameitiv. If you don't have a field, then you would say the bracha is going to say that the Gemara is going to say over here because you're not directly benefiting from it, but you're indirectly benefiting because when there's rain, then prices will go down and food will be available in front. Anyway, so Amar Rabbah Bohu, Me'em Asayim Vorchan Al Gshom, from what point in the rainfall do you make the bracha? Mishiyetze Chosam Likras Kala. Once the Chosam comes out to greet the Kala. So what do we mean by that? Rashi says two explanations. One is that you have, it rains so much, you have puddles on the ground, and when a drop of rain falls on the puddle, then you have it'll make like a drop jumps up from the puddle to meet it. Like you have a drop splash and falls into a puddle, and you have a little, it causes a little bit of the water to jump up. That's the first explanation, Mashiach Tzachos and the Kraskala. It fits, of course, with what we said yesterday, what we learned yesterday about the rain is like the husband of the earth. The second explanation, Rashi says, is that you have water is pouring out of the side streets, especially back then where they didn't have storm sewers and things like that. So when you have, where there's so much rain that it's pouring from the different streets going one opposite the other, then that's Mishiyat Zachosim. That's the second explanation of Mishiyat Zachosim Nekraskala. Then the Rambam gives yet another explanation that it means when it's raining so much that bubbles form in the puddles on the ground and the bubbles start moving towards one another and merging together. Anyway, according to any of these explanations, at that point you make the bracha. My mevorech, what bracha do you say? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. In order to bring rain here. Right, so that's, yeah, we said yesterday, Chosin and Kala, yeah, we said yesterday that the rain is like the Zohar and the ground is the Nekeva, yeah. So my Mevorech, what is the bracha that he says? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, you start off by saying, Modim anachnu loch, Hashem alekenu, I'll call tipa v'tipa sheri rab dalonu. We thank you, Hashem, for every single drop that you brought down for us. Rav Yochanan Messiah, Rav Yochanan says, you don't just say that, you do say that, but then you continue with what we say in Nishmas, v'ilu finu mole shiro kayom, if our mouths were as full as the ocean is full of waves, full of song, as the ocean is full of waves, and our tongue was as full of song as the many waves in it, etc. Al yazvunu rachmecha Hashem alakenu, until we get to the point, your mercies Hashem have never left us, they should never leave us, and they've never left us. Then there's different girsois that you say a little further. Anyway, we finish off with the bracha, Boruch Roiv Hahidois. We are blessed with Hashem, who the many hoidois. Now the word roiv can have two meanings. It can mean the many, like by Haman, the roiv bonav. It can also mean most of. So the Gemara here means it, so Rabbi Yochanan means it in the first sense, but still it bothers the Gemara. Roiv hahidois for like kol hahidois. Why are we saying roiv rather than using the word, then that's going to make it sound like we only give Hashem most of the thanks, but not all of them. Now, granted, we want to use an expression that shows that we thank Hashem for many different things. Again, we're thanking Hashem for every single drop deserves its own bracha, so that we want to say some loshen for it. But roiv hahidois, the Gemara is arguing, doesn't seem to be applicable. Amar Rava ema keil hahidois. So Rava, and by the way, also the word roiv itself. Now we're not mentioning Hashem's name over there, but roiv hahidois can mean the one who is the one who deserves many thanks. But the problem is, Roiv HaHidois seems to imply only most of it. So So rather, Omar Rabba, Ema Kela Hadaris. So rather, Rabba says you should finish off Hashem, whom we thank, Hashem, who deserves to be thanked. Omar Papa, Hilkoch Nemrino Tavai. What a Papa says, as we often find in Shas that he does, we should actually say both of them. Kela Hadaris, Veroi Hadaris. That we cover all our bases. We're mentioning Hashem's name and we're using, and we're making it clear that Roy over here doesn't mean most, it means the many. The Rambam has a girsa over here. He says you don't say Hahidoris twice, rather you say Kael Roiv Hahidoris Vatishbachas, is the Rambam's Nusach. In Shulchan Aruch it's brought slightly differently without the Hashibachas, just Kael Roiv Hahidoris. The point is that that covers all our bases. There are many places in Shas where Rav Papa does this kind of thing, where there's a machlokas about a bracha, how to say it, and Rav Papa comes. We have many examples of it so far. Where a Papa says that we should say a nusach that combines both of them. There's a vort on that that says that there's 10 places in Shas when he does that, and in the schos of that, he had 10 sons who became great Tamar Chachamim, and they were the 10 sons of Rapapa that we always mention in Asiyum, Kanina Bapapa, Rami Bapapa, and the rest of them. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rababahu, Godu Yoimag Shomim Tchias HaMesim. A day when rain falls is greater than Tchias HaMesim. Do the Tchias HaMesim or Tzadikim? Because Tchias HaMesim is only for the Tzadikim. The Rishoyim are not going to have Tchias HaMesim. Yiluk Shomim, Yiluhocha, Bein the Tzadikim, Bein the Rishoyim, whereas rain is for both the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. We talked about at the beginning of the Masechta about the comparison between rain and Tchias HaMesim. Both of those are things we said that are not in the hands of a shliach. Both of those are things that are l'mayim derech hateva. Both of them show the gvura of Hashem and so forth. So here's another comparison. Upliga de Rav Yosef. Now, actually, what Rabbi Bohu says disagrees with Rav Yosef. Dom Rav Yosef, mitoch sheit shkula k'tchias ha-mesim, because rain is as important as tchias ha-mesim, kavur b'tchias ha-mesim, is why the Chachamim established that we say mashav aruch merde geshem in the bracha of tchias ha-mesim. So Rav Yosef is saying they're equivalent. Rabbi Bohu is saying they're great. So Rabbi Yosef, in short, is saying, Eitz Yosef points out over here that a comparison is that you plant seeds in the ground and the rain falls on them and makes them germinate and grow. And that's actually, we can use that as a metaphor for Tchias HaMesim. In fact, the Gemara in Ksubas makes it quite explicit. The Gemara discusses over there that the Mesim are going to come by Tchias HaMesim, they're going to come with their clothes, and we make a Kabbal Choymer. You bury a grain of wheat when you plant it without any coverings, and it comes out, it grows on the stalk with several layers of shells on it. So Allah has come of a Kamo with the Tzadikim who were buried in Tachrichim, that they're going to come alive with them again. And there's other reasons as well. He brings from the Ritva why there's a comparison between rain and Tchias HaMesim. Rabbi Yosef is saying they're equal, and Rabbi Bohu is saying it's great. Next, Amar of Yehuda, Godu Yomag Shomim Kriyem Shenitna by Torah. A day of rain is as important as the day that the Torah was given. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says about his teaching of Torah to the Jewish people, Yarif kamoto lichi, my teaching should drip like the rain. The ein lekach el Torah, and the word lekach, my teaching means Torah. Shenemar ki lekach tov nasati lachem, I've given you a good teaching. Torah si al tazev, don't abandon my Torah. So we see that Moshe is comparing his teaching of Torah to rain, so we see that they're on an equal level. How are they on an equal level? Marsha points out one's good for the goof and the other one is good for the neshama. In fact, when we have this, the Gemara is bringing also, what? That's what he's saying. They're equal, right? He's saying, Kamotolithi. He's saying, Godu Yemakshem, Ki Yoim Shenitna by Torah, right? So Marsha says the comparison is rain is good for the body and Torah is equally good for the neshama. And then also, what does it mean? Ki lekach toiv. Why is the pasuk taka calling it lekach? He's saying, I got it. You have the Gemara in Nedarim tells us that Moshe was learning the Torah again and again from Hashem over the 40 days on Har Sinai, and he kept on forgetting it until Hashem gave it to him as a present. So now Moshe is turning to the Jewish people and saying, I'm doing the same thing to you. I'm giving it to you as a present, so don't forget it. Torah si al tazer. There's other points also in what way rain is comparable to actually Rava Amar Yosef Yemshinitna by Torah. Rava says actually rain from that same pasuk we can see that rainfall is greater than the day that the Torah was given. Shenema Yarif Kamot to Lichti, the same pasuk that says that we compare the Torah to rain. Min Litlam B'mi. Now, when we compare one thing to another, what are we compared to? What have Emma Kut and Nitla Begadu? When we say this is like that, you're implying that the thing that it's like is greater. So if you're saying Yarif Kamot to Lichti, my Torah should drip like the rain, that implies that rain is greater. Well, he made says Chametz Mitzrayim would be an example. Yeah. So the difference is over there. When the Novi is talking to us, we don't know yet. We haven't experienced yet what the Gola Amitis Vashlema is like. So he has to compare it to something that we're familiar with. I mean, the same thing when we compare the Eibishter to a king doesn't mean the king is greater than the Eibishter. Just we're comparing to something that we're familiar with. But here we're familiar with rain and we're familiar with Torah. So therefore, Moshe doesn't have to compare it to rain unless it was that Rava is saying that rain falls greater than Torah. The Chidah makes a point on it in the sense that he says, like this, further on, the Gemara talks about when does rain fall, when there's been a drought for a while, when does rain come, when the people did tshuva? Well, the same thing by Matan Torah. So in other words, people prepare themselves. Same thing by Matan Torah. People prepared themselves for it in advance. But then Rava is saying, after all, sometimes the rain falls even without people preparing for it, whereas the Torah had to be given with that preparation. And therefore, in that sense, rain can be even greater than the Torah, that Hashem doesn't even wait for the Sarusa de Losata. Sometimes Hashem just gives it completely on his own. Rava Rami. So now Rava pointed out a contradiction within that pasuk we just quoted. And this is going to get us off on a digression a bit from the topic of rain to talking about Torah. So Rava Rami, Ksiv Yarif Kamotu Lichti. First, Moshe says that my teaching should drip like the rain. Uchtiv, then he continues in the same pasuk, Tizal Katal Imrasi, my words should flow like the dew. So what is Torah compared to? Is it like the rain or like the dew? So it depends, says Rava. Im Tamid Chacham Hogunu, if the Tamid Chacham is an Erlich person who's acting the way of Tamid Chacham should act, Katal, then his teaching should be like the dew, which people always want. The dew falls gently. It's not. You sometimes rain falls very hard and it's burdensome. Dew is not. So therefore, so then by all means, take his Torah and accept it and always learn it as much as possible. But if he's not Hogun, Ofehu Kamotur, then Ofehu like the rain. Rashi explains that the Gemara is taking the word Ofehu to mean Meloshin, Vim Loisif Devar after, kill him, like the way that the rain sometimes floods and kills people. So in other words, have nothing to do with it. Marsha says that no, that's not necessarily what it means. The word Ofehu would be Meloshin Oref, Meloshin the back of the neck. So in other words, turn the back of your neck to him and go away and don't learn Torah from such a person. So Kamotar would be the same way as rain is not always something that people want. Later on, the Gemara points out, in fact, that sometimes a day of rain can be quite a hassle. It can be quite burdensome. Sometimes you're in the middle of doing something where you want dry, clear weather, and instead it rains and it messes up your plans or it ruins your things or whatever. Sometimes even the rain can be a flood or whatever, whereas dew is always something wanted. So kamacho would mean, in other words, treat it like the rain, which is not always something wanted. Ion Yaakov adds that maybe also what it can mean is, now sometimes you have various Mephoshim talk about over here, for example, we'll learn eventually in Masechta Chagiga Ves Hashem all about Reb Meir learning Torah from Acher, even after Acher had become an Apikoros. And the Gemara says over there that Reb Meir ate the pomegranate, he ate the seeds and threw away the peel. In other words, he knew how to extract from what Acher is teaching him the good and throw away any of the Apikorsis or whatever that would be mixed into it. So it can mean that also. In other words, turn your back to him and be careful to the extent you're learning Torah from him. Be careful that you're not doing it in a way where you're coming too close to him and are going to end up learning from his negative ways. So that would be Yarif Meloshin Ofei. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Tanya Hoyra Bana Omer Kol Oisik Patur Lishma, a person who learns Torah Lishma because Hashem said so. His Torah becomes an elixir of life, a life-giving potion for him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikim Ba. The Torah is a tree of life for those who hold on to it. And you also have a pasuk, Rifus Tehila Sharecha. The Torah will be a healing for your navel, where the navel was the center of the body, so it represents the whole body. And you have another pasuk, Kimotzi Motzachayim, where the Torah personified says that anyone who finds me has found life. So we see that Torah can be a life-giving thing for a person if he uses it properly. Marsha points out over here, you know, when you take medicines, you can't just mix the ingredients together and take them on your own. Or nowadays, just open up the bottle and take them on your own. You have all kinds of bad things can come out of that. You have to take it under a doctor's supervision. The same way, when you're learning Torah, you can't just think I'm going to learn it and then do with it whatever I want. You have to realize that Hashem, being the faithful doctor, is the one who's giving you the prescription of the Torah and know how to use it correctly. On the other hand, a person occupies himself with Torah, not Lishma, and we'll talk about in a second what not Lishma means, Nasis le samamovis, then it becomes a death-giving potion to him. Shenema, the same pasuk we quoted, Yarif kamota likhi, the in arifa el hariga. And again, like we had before, that the word arifa means killing, Shenema v'orfu shamasa egla banochal, like we had by the egla arufa. So therefore, the Torah can be something that kills. Now, Tosfos points out over here, and in several other places in Shas, that there are a number of places where the Gemara says that a person should learn Torah, even Shalom Lishma, because Mitoch Shalom Lishma Bo Lishma. So why are we saying over here that it would be a poison for him? So Tosfos here, and in many other places in Shas, distinguishes those different kinds of Lishma versus Shalom Lishma. Now, Rashi says over here that Lishma would be Kasher Tzivani Hashem Alekoi. Hashem commanded me to learn Torah, and therefore I'm doing it for no other reason, as opposed to be that I'm learning Torah in order to be called Rebbe. So now, Tosfos says that no, if he's doing it in order to get the covered or to be called Rebbe or whatever, so it's not the best thing, but you can't say that that's Nasas Lo Samamavis. That we say, Mitoch Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. From that, he'll eventually come to Lishma. There's the explanation of Pixidus that Mitoch within that, there's already Lishma buried in there and he just needs to bring it out. When do we say that's Nasas Lo Samamavis? Tosfos says, Mishalom Lakanter, a person who learns Torah in order to use it to harass or attack other people. And there are various kinds of ways. You can have, for example, where a person learns Torah, where now he's going to learn various kinds of things in halacha that he can use to cheat or attack other people. There can be, for example, where people are Osik in some mitzvah, for example, and he sits down over there and Dafka learns as loudly as possible in order to distract them. You can imagine any number of possibilities of Lakanta. So that's the kind of thing we're saying that's what the Gemara is saying over here about the Arif Kamotalit. Okay, so in this connection, the Gemara continues. So the in Yaakov's gear says that Reb Zera is asking Reb Yumia, where Reb Yumia was Reb Zera's Talmud. But Reb Yumia was Reb Zera's Talmud. But in that case, when he says Lasi Mar Lisni, Mar means the master, the Rebbe should come and teach, then it would be kind of odd for Reb Zera to be saying that to his Talmud Reb Yumia. So the printed Gemara has it the other way around. Reb Yumia asks his Rebbe Reb Zera to teach something. Anyway, Omerle. According to the Girsa of Ein Yaakov, conceivably you could say that the Rabbi Yumi over here was not regular Rabbi Yumi and Shas, but rather Rabbi Yumi Ba'aba, who was in fact an older Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Zera. Be that as it may, anyway, he says, Lasi Mar Lisni, Rebbe, come and teach me something in Torah. Amalei, Cholish Liboy, he says, my heart is weak, Lo Yachilna, right now I can't. Okay, so Rabbi Zera asks him, Rabbi Zera or Rabbi Yumi, as the case may be, asks, Le Mamar Milsa Da Gadda. So then at least say something about Gadda. Halacha is complicated things, and right now you might not be up to that. But Agadda is easier things. Ian Yaakov points out, the Gemara elsewhere says, Agadda Meshechas Liba Shel Adam. It pulls in a person's heart, and therefore it's fine for you, even if you have a weak heart, even if you're not feeling so well. Omerle, so he says, okay. Hachi Omer Rabbi Yechanan said like this, Mai Dichtiv Ki Ha'odam Eitz HaSadeh. The Pasuk says that man is a tree of the field. Now, Poshet Pshat, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, it's a rhetorical question when it's talking about over there besieging a city, that it says you're not allowed to chop down the fruit trees. Ki ha'odam eitz hasadeh. Do you think that the tree is a person that you should expect it ought to go into the city to be safe during the siege, and if it doesn't go in, then it's its fault. The tree can't help it being there, and therefore you can't cut it down. But Marsha says still, if that's the case, if that's all the Pasuk meant, then it should have said the other way around, ki eitz hasadeh adam, and we would understand it. Is the eitz hasadeh a person? So therefore, what it means is actually on another level, and we know it's a very, very famous thing that said, that it means a person is in a sense like a tree of a field. Namely, The pasuk continues over there. When you have a fruit tree over there, you can eat fruit from it. But also, but you're not allowed to chop it down. But then the next pasuk continues that if it's a fruit tree that does not, if it's a tree that does not produce fruit, then the pasuk continues. Then you can destroy it and chop it down. So in other words, the pasuk is comparing a person to a tree, but there are two types of trees, whether fruit-bearing and non-fruit-bearing. So what's the difference? Okay, it said, Im tamid chacham hagunu. So again, the distinction that we said before, if he's an erlach tamid chacham, he's acting the way a yid should act, mimenu seichel v'oso v'sichros, then by all means, learn Torah from him and don't cut him down, which means also that he himself is not going to have, it's going to be a samachayim for him, or will help keep him alive, like we just said. And also, oso v'sichros, Tosfa says, also means don't cut yourself off from him, stick by him and continue to learn Torah from him. The imlav, but if he's not a hogun, oso sashkes v'charata, then destroy him and chop him down, which means stay away from him. Like we said before, so that's the connection. Marashal says this is the connection that Talmud Chacham Hogun and Ene Hogun can also mean what we just said about Lishma and Shalai Lishma. Before we mentioned that if he's Hogun versus not, that means if he's acting the way a Yid should act versus if he's doing various kinds of public averus. Here we can say, in addition, the Gemara mentioned the distinction between Lishma and Shalai Lishma about it being Sam Chaim or the opposite. So Marashal says this can fit with that also. A Talmud Chacham Hogun who would be that he's learning Torah Lishma for the proper reasons, whereas Talmud Chacham She'ena Hogun would mean where he's learning for the wrong reasons, or as Tosfa says, Lakanter or whatever, and then stay away. So here also you have a various mephoshim talk about over here at length. The Rif talks about it over here at great length, for example, again about this whole matter of the mayor learning from Acher. So he had to be careful. So indeed he had to be careful when he's learning, when the mayor knew, in short, the Rif goes into a bit of an arichos of it, but he says in the end, the bottom line is that when one way of looking at it is, if you yourself are not a Talmud Chacham, don't take your chances with such a person. Actually, first of all, Tosfos actually mentions the point of the mayor and Acher. So that's a Talmud Chacham, Tosfos points out, and the Rif expands on that, a Talmud Chacham can learn from someone even who's not Hogun, because he's not going to learn from him, as we see, in fact, that a mayor learned for years by Acher, and he wasn't influenced by him. But if the person himself is not a Talmud Chacham, then he should be careful about that, because he may end up being influenced by the Rav, by the one he's learning from, by the Rebbe he's learning from, who's not Hogun. So that explains how the mayor, so that's how the mayor was able to do that. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abchama b'Rab Chanina, my dichtiv barzo b'barzo yochad. The pasuk says iron with iron together, and the pasuk finishes off the ish yachad pnei re'ehu, and a person together with the face of his friend. So what does that mean? Ma loy malacha tells you ma barzo ze echad mechadet es chaveroi. With iron, one piece of iron sharpens the other. You have, in fact, in Masechta Beitza and the Halachas of Yom Tov, it mentions, for example, you can have a case where you have a knife that's a little bit dull on Yom Tov. You can still cut with it, but it's a little difficult, so you can't sharpen it on a whetstone in the usual way on Yom Tov. However, Masia or Gabi Chavuta, you're allowed to rub it on another knife in order to bring it to an edge. So one piece of iron helps sharpen the other. So therefore, Yachad Pnei Re'ehu, Achdeis Tamid Chachamim, Mechadin in Zeh Seba Halacha, the same way, two Tamid Chachamim, when they learn Torah together, they sharpen one another in Halacha. Now, Marashah says, what does this have to do with what we were saying before? Like this, when you see that two Tamid Chachamim are learning together, very often you're going to see that they're arguing with each other and esvahe, if you have it, looks like they're enemies to one another. Esvahe v'sufa, as the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin. At the end, there's friendship, but meanwhile, nas and son and zelazeh, it looks like they're enemies to one another. So you're going to think, wait a minute, these guys are learning the canto. Isn't it a samamavis for them? Nope. Reb Chama Reb Chanina is telling us that no, in this case, what you're seeing is they're fighting the war of Torah by all means, but they're doing it in order to sharpen one another, not lakanter, and therefore what they're doing is legitimate, and it is a samchayim for them. Omer Rabbi Baba Chana. So Rabbi Baba Chana continues in this vein. And Ion Yaakov also points out a point of it. It means, let's say, we just said that if the Rav is not Hogun, however we define that, then you shouldn't learn Torah by him. So what happens if the only people available to learn Torah from are all not Hogun? So we said you're supposed to stay away from them. How are you supposed to learn Torah then? Well, then at least find a Chavrusa to learn with, and that way at least you'll sharpen one another in the absence of a good Rebbe to learn from. Amar Rav Baba Chana, Lama Nimshalu Divrei Torah Ka'esh. Why are words of Torah compared to fire? Shenemar, and we find in the pasuk Haloi Choy Dvori Ka'esh Neum Hashem. Hashem says, aren't my words like fire? Loi Malacha tells you, Ma Esh Ena Dolek Yechidi. Fire won't burn well on its own. If you light one piece of wood on fire, it won't really catch very well. You need a pile of firewood in order. Once one of them catches, then eventually all of them do. So after Divrei Torah and Meskaim and Yichid, the same way words of Torah don't last by a person when he learns all by himself. He has to be learning with somebody else in order for it to really work. Marsha points out, actually, we learned previously a different connection between Torah and fire. We learned a few days ago that when a young Talmud Chacham, that Surah Men Abonin, gets angry, means it's the fire of Torah burning within him. And so it's both, really. And there's two ways in which the Torah is compared to fire. One, that it makes him more sensitive to things that he's going to object when things are not being done the way they're supposed to. And all that was that Gemara over there. And here also the point that a person doesn't learn Torah well by himself, only together with somebody else. V'hainu d'omer Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina, this is like what Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina says, my dichtiv, there's a pasuk that says, cherev el abadim menoya, a sword against the badim, and they will be foolish. Simple meaning of the pasuk, the context of the pasuk is it's talking about the destruction of Bavel, how the armies of Paras and Modei are going to come and destroy Bavel, and he says, the badim literally means people who, one of the meanings of badim is people who make things up, like the word badoi in Lashon Kodesh. So the badim, then the simple meaning is it means the magicians over there who make up all kinds of predictions. So there's going to be a sword against them, menoyalu, and they're going to be shown to be foolish because it's going to be shown that all of their predictions were ridiculous. But here the Gemara is taking it in a different sense. A sword against the enemies of the Talmid Chachamim, which really means the Talmid Chachamim themselves, where they learn Torah singly. The word bad also have one of the meanings of the word bad is by oneself. So like the word bodod. So when Talmid Chachamim learn Torah bodod alone, that's alabadim, then cherev, then a sword deserves to be against them. One reason is, Marashah mentions and refers over here to what he says on this in the Gemara is also in Matis, because for one thing, when a person learns by himself, he's very likely to come to wrong conclusions in Torah, and that will be a very serious thing, like we had in last week's Pirkei Avos, Sheshigas Talmud, Ola Zodin, that even a Talmud Chacham's inadvertent mistakes are counted like something deliberate because he should have known better. So if you're not a Talmud Chacham, it's not a problem to learn by yourself. I mean, I guess if you're not planning to learn a Libur d'Hilchosah, maybe not. I guess, the Rambam says, if you live in a society where everybody's corrupt, then go out and live in the caves or something. Obviously, you're still going to learn Torah then. So we're not saying a blanket statement, don't ever learn Torah alone. But yeah, we're saying that it's not the right way to do it when possible. Anyway, the loy oid elashim etapshin. Not only that, a person learns Torah by himself, he ends up becoming foolish. That same pasuk says, which we just said means a sword against the ones who learn alone, v'noyalu, and they become foolish. So the word v'noyalu means foolish. It's related to the word evil, which you have in Mishle and various other places as one of the words in Tanakh for a fool. Not only that, they end up sinning because they end up coming to wrong conclusions in halach. And we see that also from the word v'noyalu. We see after Miriam talked against Moshe and she got saras, then Aaron asks that please forgive her. So we see that ne'alnu and chatonu go together. To be foolish is to do an aveda because nichnas beruach shtus. So therefore, the noyalu means not only they become foolish, but they end up actually doing averas. The boy same in my hocha. Or you have another pasuk where you see the same thing that noyalu means to do averas. Noyalu soret soyam. Going with the pasuk describes the downfall of Mitzrayim in the times of Sancheirev. It says the ministers, the noblemen of Soyam, because the capital of Egypt, have become foolish. And also Noyalu again means they've sinned. They've done Averas, and therefore they're going to be conquered and defeated by Sancheiv. So all of that, in other words, is the point that a person, when possible, should not learn Torah alone. He should learn with a Rebbe or with a Chabrus. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah Ka'etz. Here's another point. The Torah is compared to wood. The Torah is an eighth of life to those who hold on to it. And you know, in Lashon Kodesh, the word eighth means both a tree and it means a piece of wood. So Torah is compared to wood. Why is that? Loi Malach, it tells you, Ma eitz koten madlekas hagadol, just like a small piece of wood helps set a bigger one on fire. When you're making a bonfire, you start with little pieces of wood for kindling, and then they catch on fire, and then eventually from them the larger logs catch. The same way the lesser Tamar Chachamim make the greater ones sharper with their questions. Behind the Amr Rav Chanina, like famously Rav Chanina said, "Havi lamati mirab boisai." I learned a lot of Torah from my rabbeim, or mechavera yosim mirab boisai. But I learned even more from my chaverim because we're learning together and we're asking one another questions and sharpening things. Or mitamida yosim mikulam, and most of all from my talmidim because they ask questions and therefore they keep me on my toes and I end up learning a lot that way. So everyone, Marsha points out, every one of the previous ones asks more questions, so therefore it brings to more sharpness. There was a few days ago in Daf Yomi, there was something about this. Yeah, the famous story of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish over there, how Rabbi Yochanan made Rish Lakish a Baal Tshuva, and so on and so forth. And then at the end of it, there you have, after Rish Lakish passed away, where Rabbi Yochanan is inconsolable, and Rabbi Lazar comes to try to cheer him up. And every time Rabbi Yochanan is saying something, Rabbi Lazar brings a braisa to back up what he's saying. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "That's not what I want over there." Rish Lakish and I, whenever we would spar in Torah, whenever I'm saying something, he would ask me 24 questions, and I'd have to come up with 24 answers, so everything becomes clarified, and here all you're doing is being a yes man to me, and I don't want that. So that's the chavera, and the talmida yosim mikolam helps that. Ben Yoyada makes a point, by the way, the reason why he has to say how lamadti rabosai. You shouldn't think that maybe, well, okay, he wasn't able to learn very much from his rebbeim, and therefore he had no choice but to fall back on his chaverim and his talmidim. No, how lamadti rabosai, but even that was much more than I got from my chaverim and from my talmid. We talked before about whether the Rav is Hogun or not, and therefore whether you should learn Torah from him. So now let's turn to the Talmud. Rav Chanina bar Papa Rami. There's a contradiction between two psukim. Siv likras tsome hesoyu moyim. One pasuk says, bring water to the thirsty. The original context of it is when the Jewish people are going in Golos, and the Navi is saying to the Arabs where they were passing by over there, the Ishmaelim, you should have brought out water for the thirsty Jews. And instead we know what happened, the famous thing, they brought them out inflated bags, and they thought they were drinking, and they ended up blowing up. Anyway, so here we're saying, in other words, when the person is thirsty, you should bring water to him. But the same Navi says, "How you called somebody l'cholamayim? Everyone who's thirsty, go to the water," implying you don't bring it to him; he has to come to it. So, what is it? It means im talmud chacham hogunhu. So here we're going to focus not on the chacham, on the rav, but rather on the talmud. If the talmud is hogun, if he's acting the way he should, and Rashi says he wants to learn from you, then likras tsomei hesoyumayim, then you have the responsibility to go and bring the water of Torah to him. The imlav, and if not, if he doesn't want to learn, or if he's not hogun, if he's not acting the way he should, then hoy kol tzomei l'cholamayim, he's going to have to take the initiative and come to the Rebbe to learn. You don't seek him out. Marshall also adds that's what we're talking about. The Talmud she'ein hogun, you shouldn't be teaching him Torah. On the other hand, the Talmud himself should feel the responsibility to go to the water to get himself back on the right track and go learn. The Rambam, in fact, paskins the halacha, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch from there, that you're not supposed to teach a Talmud she'ein hogun. When you have a Talmud who's not acting the way a Yid should be acting, you're not supposed to teach him Torah. Elsewhere in Gemara Cholin, the Gemara compares that to doing that, to throwing a stone at a miraculous idol, which is like you think you're going to be mevazeh, but really you're worshiping it. In the same way, you think you're going to help this Talmud, and really because he's not hogun, it's just going to make things worse. But what you have to do is you have to work on him to make him hogun, make him be what an erlich yid should be, and then by all means teach him Torah. It means you work on him. You work on helping him develop his midas. You're talking about, in other words, a person who does not have good midas. He's not acting and behaving in the way that a Talmud ought to be acting. So then you have to machzir the motiv that Rambam says. You have to bring him back to the right path, and then you teach him Torah. Obviously, it's a case by case basis. I mean, nowadays you have many, all the time, people come in off the street into Chabad houses and you start teaching them. That's a little different. They're not Hogun. It's just they're classic Tanokas Chenishbu. That's different. We're talking about over here somebody who is knowingly acting in a wrong way. And for example, the danger is that he's going to take the Torah that he learns and use it like we learned before Lakanter. So you have a responsibility to make sure that he doesn't do that before you start teaching him Torah. So in that connection, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama Rami, you have another contradiction between Pesukim. Ksiv yafutzu ma'inasecha chutza. One pasuk in Mishlei says your wellsprings should spread outward. In other words, that you should be spreading out your knowledge of Torah and teaching as widely as possible. Ochtid. But then a couple of Pesukim later, it says yu l'chol avadecha. It should be for you alone. So what is it? Are you supposed to spread your knowledge of Torah, or are you supposed to keep it to yourself? So again, in Talmud Hogunu, if the Talmud is erlach, is acting with good midas, yofutza minasecha chutza, then spread out your wellsprings of Torah for him. And even Rashi says, teach him sistrei Torah, teach him even the hidden parts of Torah which you wouldn't normally teach Barab. V'im lav, but if not, you l'chol v'adecha, then keep those to yourself, and at most, to the extent that you're going to teach him, is going to be maybe only the basics, and then be careful not to teach him things that he's going to misuse like that. So, v'amar ha'pchanina v'idi, l'man nimshal u'divrei Torah l'mayim, why is Torah being compared to water, which we just said, d'chtiv ho'i kol tzomim l'chol l'mayim, lo'y malach. Water abandons the higher place and flows down to the lower place. Water will always seek the lowest level that it can. The same way, Torah will only last by somebody who feels humble. Now, what's the connection between this and the previous part? Marsha says you might have a Talmud who thinks himself, I'm too important to go travel to the Rebbe to teach me Torah. So we're saying you better, if you want to learn Torah, you better abandon that mentality and realize that you need to lower yourself and go, hoi kol tzomim l'chol ha'mayim, go to where the water is, and the water is going to seek the lower level, and therefore that's where you have to go, and you have to develop that sense, you have to develop that sense of anivus. Tosfos also brings in this connection from a Gemara in Erevin that says that in fact, loy b'shamayim hi, besides that it means the Torah is literally not in Shemayim, and that has implications in Halacha, for example, in the story with Tanu Shalachnoi, it also means you won't find Torah by somebody who holds himself high like Shemayim. And then Tosfos incidentally brings the various other things that the Gemara says over there, you won't find great knowledge of Torah by Sochrim who travel overseas on business a lot. It's very hard. Realistically, they're not going to be able to be so heavily involved in business and traveling and all, and also become a top-level Talmud Chacham. Tosfos also brings an interesting thing in that connection. From this part actually is from a Medrash, that there are various other groups you won't find knowledge of Torah among. One of them is stargazers, people who are experts in astronomy. So the Medrash continues. They ask Shmuel, what about you? You're a famous astronomer, as we know from various places in Shas, and you're also tremendously great in Torah. So he says, you should know, when did I look into this kind of thing? To learn astronomy is only when I had to go to the bathroom. Nowadays people read in the bathroom. I guess back then they also did. So he used that time to learn astronomy, but he's not taking time off of Torah for it. I think it's said similarly about the Rebbe and his brothers that they used to learn foreign languages in similar times like that and downtime like that. So that's the way you do it then. So that way you're not wasting time from Torah for Chochmas Chitzonius. So we'll continue tomorrow with more about the metaphors that Torah is compared to. We said it's compared to water, and there's various other liquids that the Torah is compared to as well, which we'll learn about more tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Yom Mashiach Ha'Golah, the full birur of the world is going to be at the end of this last Golos. By the Golam Midisvah Shlema, that's what the pasuk means. Here, you quoted before, Ki Meit Seis Chama Eretz Mitzrayim, I don't know if it flows. So the comparison is, on the other hand, there's going to be a contrast because when we went out of Golos Mitzrayim, we know they have to be kivoracham, they have to run away because they hadn't completely transformed all the ra over here. Whereas la'asid lava, it's going to be loichid posin teitzei. You won't have to leave in haste. Of a minusa loiselechon, you won't have to run. You won't have to go running away because ruach atoma avim in aretz. So we will go out of Golos Bizrizus, but in a way, Menuchas HaNefesh, or Menuchas HaGuf, in a calm, peaceful way, in complete Shlemos, and complete health. Miyad Mavish. We're in the middle of Halachas about putting up an Oihel, a temporary Oihel on Shabbos. So the last thing we talked about is, for example, a canopy or a sheet or a baby carriage or a stroller or something like that. You have cases where you're allowed or not allowed to, if it was opened up a tefach, or if the plastic hoops or whatever that hold it up are within three tefachim of one another. So now another din in this connection. If you have a wide box, and the Alter Rebbe points out, the comparison would be, for example, like a barrel. So then you have, if the cover is not attached with hinges, and the Alter Rebbe also adds, if the cover is not clearly, sometimes you can have the shape of the cover indicates that it's clearly meant to cover this box. So sometimes you have, like, for example, these toy boxes or benches or things like that, where the cover is clearly meant to be a part of it, even though it's not attached with hinges. But if it doesn't look like that, then you're not allowed to take that off because it would be soiser and you wouldn't be able to cover it because making an oil. However, the Alter Rebbe says people sometimes are meikel and you can't be moicha in them because there are heterim for it. In a similar vein, if you have, for example, if you're going to put up a makeshift table, for example, let's say so he describes over here, you're going to take a barrel, for example, and take a piece of wood and put it on top of it. You have to put the barrel face down, otherwise you put it face up, and then you put the piece of wood on top of it for the tabletop. Then you're making an oil hole, and you can't do that. So the basic idea is you can't make a temporary oil hole unless the oil hole was partially made before. And again, here we're talking about something very wide, something that has a very wide opening. So therefore, you'd have a problem that it looks like an oihel, and therefore it's also derabban.
Unfold the table.
No, unfolding a table is something else. That's folding tables and things like that. I think you're underneath the table. Of course, you have an oihel. Practically speaking, it would be an oihel as far as tuma, but you're not making it for the sake of that. But here we're talking about that ultimately you're using, let's say, a barrel and putting a piece of wood on top of it. You have a space inside there that now is being covered with an oihel, and that would be the issue.